If you noticed in your hymn book, that was a psalm from the Old Testament. That was based on Psalm 119. And we have all 150 psalms to music in our hymnal, which is one reason that we got this hymnal. And we are actually commanded to speak to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs. So when we sing those psalms, we're singing exactly as God has commanded us to worship Him. Our forefathers sang the psalms only until about 1800. And it's only then that hymns and other songs began to be part of our Baptist worship in America. So that's a great thing to realize. We're singing inspired words of God when we sing the psalms. Now get your Bibles out and turn to the book of Proverbs as we continue to work through this book. And as I told you before, we're not going to cover verse by verse straight through the book. It doesn't follow the same pattern as the other books of the Bible. It's a collection of Proverbs by Solomon and Kings Lemuel and King Agar that are gathered together for the people of God. The first 9 chapters of this book of Proverbs does have an order in them from Solomon. And he begins these sections of the first 9 chapters often with words like this: "Hear, my son, your father's instruction." We saw in chapter 1, if you'll look there a moment, in the first few verses, that Solomon wrote these proverbs in verse 2 to help people to know wisdom and instruction. Verse 3, to receive instruction in wise behavior. Verse 4, to give prudence to the simple, that is, those who don't understand God's truth well. And to the youth, knowledge and discretion, but not just to young people. In verse 5, a wise man will hear and increase in learning, and a man of understanding will acquire wise counsel. So the Proverbs are written to everyone, children, young people, and adults to live by. You never get old enough to say, I don't have to honor this proverb and obey its teaching in my life. And if you feel like that's the way you can do, it shows that you're not listening to God's word. Now, in Proverbs chapter 2, we begin these words, and I'd like us to read the whole chapter because we're looking to the first 2 verses of this chapter this morning. Let's hear the word of God, Solomon, inspired by the Holy Spirit, speaking to his son. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, make your ear attentive to wisdom, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as for hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth come knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk in integrity, guarding the paths of justice, and he preserves the way of his godly ones. Then you will discern righteousness and judgment and equity and every good course. For wisdom will enter your heart, and knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil, from the man who speaks perverse things, from those who leave the path of uprightness and to walk in the ways of darkness, who delight in doing evil and rejoice in perversity of evil, whose paths are crooked and who are devious in their ways, to deliver you from the strange woman, from the adulteress who flatters with her words and leaves the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house sinks down to death and her tracks lead to the dead. None who go to her return again, nor do they reach the paths of life. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep to the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land, and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. Let us pray together. We thank you for these words of God, Father, for causing the Holy Spirit to inspire Solomon, giving him the gift of wisdom and the authority to teach us what wisdom is. We thank you for these words that he taught his son, because they are words of a father to a child that every parent should teach to their children, and every child should listen to and honor and obey. Help us to understand that your ways are not the ways of this world. That even though marriage and family is being redefined in America today, you have not redefined it. It is the same as it was in the garden when you created Adam and Eve. And being made in the image of God, it is the same for us today. So I pray that parents and young people today will take heed to your inspired and authoritative word and honor you by honoring these words in the way they live. And I pray that your Holy Spirit would convict of sin where it's necessary, would show us that Jesus Christ fulfilled every one of these words himself, that he died on the cross to bear the punishment that we deserve for violating these words, and that he rose from the dead to forgive us of sin and to teach us how to keep these words. Help us to honor him who gave himself for us by honoring the words he gave to us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Proverbs is literally a gold mine of wisdom. It's part of the wisdom literature of the Bible: Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon. And it is designed to help us to understand how to live in a fallen world as men and women of God, as boys and girls of God. It's especially designed for parents to teach them what they should teach to their children and young men and women. And it's designed for young women and young men to understand and listen to and how God wants them to live as adults. So it's never out of date. It is based upon the Ten Commandments of God, the eternal moral law of God. It talks about worshiping God and not taking his name in vain. It talks about honoring father and mother, not killing and murdering and hating, not committing adultery, but honoring your spouse and loving marriage. It talks about working hard and knowing God's blessing upon your labors instead of being lazy and stealing and goofing off on your employer. Talks about telling the truth in love and understanding who is telling the truth and who's not. And it talks about being content with God and the things of this world that He's given us by His design, instead of being grumbling and complaining and arguing with God and man. And so it's really teaching us how to love God with all our heart and how to love our neighbor as ourselves. And so these are eternal truths of wisdom. They apply to us today as much as they did to Solomon's son in the Old Testament. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Proverbs are all based upon the fear of the Lord, as we've seen. Trust in God. Respect and awe of God as your Creator, and if you are saved by His grace, your Savior. And that the most important thing in life is to know God, to fear God through a respectful faith in Him and having a willing heart to learn His truth and to live by His truth. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. But all through the Proverbs, fools despise wisdom and instruction. Another thing that we've learned here, as I've already said, is that Jesus Christ kept every one of the Proverbs. If you want to know how Jesus thought and how He would advise you today in certain situations, He would think and did think like Proverbs. He learned them and probably memorized the whole book as a child from his parents, from Joseph and Mary, and at the synagogue school that they had back then. These truths guided him as a man in how he did business in the workshop, in the carpenter shop. They guided him in how he dealt with sinful brothers and sisters, how he treated other people in Nazareth as a young man and as a carpenter himself, how he was just and faithful to his work and honest in his business, how he kept his word to people long before he was a Messiah in terms of the knowledge of the world. And so the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all of these. He listened to his father and mother teach him these things. He memorized them. He understood what they meant, and every word and act that came out of his mouth and life were in conformity with all of the Proverbs. And when he went to the cross, having perfectly kept the Ten Commandments and the two great commandments and the Proverbs and how they explain that living, he died and suffered the just punishment and wrath of God against our choices to disobey God in the Proverbs, that he might rise from the dead and save a multitude of sinners and give them a heart that lives according to his word in the Proverbs. That's how important they are to us. And this morning in chapter 2, there are two major things I want to bring out. And the first one is this, that it is a parent's responsibility all through the Proverbs to teach their children. And the second thing that is in chapter 2, it is the responsibility of children and young people to eagerly listen and learn to their parents' teaching. My son, if you will receive my sayings and treasure my commandments within you, then you will discern the fear of the Lord. So this morning, I want to take first the responsibility of parents to teach God's words, including Proverbs, to their children. Verse 1 presumes that Solomon is teaching his son, my son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments. And he taught with authority because he knew that God had charged him to teach his household the word of God. If you remember, Abraham was chosen In Genesis 18, 19, God said that he might command his household to walk in the ways of the Lord after him. God has put the husband and father in the home to be responsible to teach the family, and especially the children, the words of God. We saw last week that fathers, in the first 9 chapters of Proverbs, are mentioned 7 times with words like these as an example. Hear, O sons, the instruction of a father, and give attention that you may gain understanding. For I give you sound teaching. Do not abandon my instruction. Over and over again, Solomon exhorts his son in different settings that are brought together into one section. Listen to my words. Heed the instruction of your father. Actively listen to your parents. So fathers are to teach and instruct their children. And you can do this in many ways. You can do this by just sitting down together at one meal, hopefully a day, as a family, and talking with each other and getting to know each other, not allowing yourself to grow distant from each other. And after a good meal together, to read a chapter of Scripture and pray. It's not a big deal. It doesn't take a PhD to do this. But just read a chapter of Scripture from God's Word and pray. Or before you go to bed at night, to gather the family together. No matter if there's homework, no matter if what's happening in the household, cut off the phone if you have to, and gather the family and read a chapter of Scripture or a few verses or a good devotional book and pray. Just to bring God's Word into all of your minds as a family, and for children to hear their father care enough about God to care enough about His truth to care about their souls. Now, this is the commandment God gave to Moses in Deuteronomy 6:1, the statutes and the judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, Moses said. And he had just given the Ten Commandments for the second time. That's what Deuteronomy means, second law. He said, this is the commandment, the statutes and judgments which the Lord your God has commanded me to teach you, that you might do them, that's to parents, that you might do them in the land where you are going over to possess it, so that you and your son and your grandson might fear the Lord your God. If you don't teach the Word of God and the truth of God to your children, what makes you think they're going to teach it to their grandchildren, to your grandchildren? You can exhort them all day long to do it, but if you didn't do it, they probably won't do it. And this certainly applies to those that have older children and younger children or no children yet. That for the spiritual welfare of your children and grandchildren and generations to come, that fathers take that responsibility to teach their children, so that your son and grandson might fear the Lord your God to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I command you, all the days of your life, and that your days may be prolonged. O Israel, you should listen and be careful to do all to do it, that it may be well with you, and that you may multiply greatly, just as the Lord your God of the Lord, the God of your fathers, has promised you, in a land flowing with milk and honey. And here is what is called the Shema, the praise to God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord is our God, the Lord is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, and with all your soul, and with all your might. And these words which I am commanding you today shall be on your heart, and you shall teach them diligently to your sons and shall talk of them when you sit in your house, and when you walk by the way, and when you lie down, and when you rise up. God's design for family life is for a father and mother who loves the Lord with all their heart, who studies and learns His teachings and His commandments, how to live a godly, loving life, and then to teach those very things to their children. There is no priority that is greater than that. Not work, not health, not circumstances of life, nothing. Because we're dealing here with the eternal souls of our children. And the only way by which they will ever know God and know heaven. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. We have to teach the Word of God to our children. And it's very plain that it's to be integrated into all of life, not just when we sit at a table together and have a meal and read a passage of Scripture and pray. Our duty is not done then. He says that we are to have the Word of God, the teachings of Christ, the law of God upon our minds. Our love for God is to be continual, so that as we get up in the morning, we're already starting to teach our children and say, honey, look at the window. Look out the window. You see that beautiful sky? Look at those clouds. God made those clouds. You see that bird? God feeds the birds and gives them a song to sing. He is such a great God. Believe in Him. And when we walk through the day and we're at the supermarket and over here are some rebellious, crying, yelling kids driving their mother crazy, you take your child aside or wait till you get to the car and you say, honey, do you remember those children? Do you know why they're that way? It's because their mother has not taught them to obey her with the rod and reproof of God like we're trying to teach you. And therefore, their mother lets their sinful nature rule them and her. You need to learn that God has been good to you to bring His truth and His way to live into your life. And mom and daddy are not perfect, but we're trying to raise you in the Lord. So you won't be like that selfish, self-centered child. All the time, we're to be teaching the Word of God to our children. And for those of you who believe you failed, or you do not do it adequately, or you don't do it at all, I have good news for you. Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. At the right time, Christ died for the ungodly to forgive them of their sins. That if they will confess their sins, God is faithful and righteous to forgive them their sins and to cleanse them from all unrighteousness. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. And you can start over again today and tomorrow, to do what God has called you to do as a parent. God has provided His grace to keep our hearts faithful to His will. But the call to fathers includes mothers as well. Mothers cannot just leave that responsibility to the father for instruction and discipline of children. They have authority from God to teach and to correct and enforce God's commandments to their children. And the father needs to teach his sons, particularly, to honor their mother in everything she says. And he needs to teach his daughters to honor his mother, their mother, his wife, in everything she says. There has to be unity between a father and a mother for it all to make sense to a child and to a young person. They both need to be on the same page. They both need to support each other. And if the father doesn't understand what the mother has been doing in correcting or instructing the children while he's away, he gives the benefit of the doubt to the mother, not the child. Or you will undermine the authority of the mother before the child. You know, the way a husband treats his wife in front of the children has a great deal to do with whether the children honor and respect and obey their mother. If he criticizes her in front of the children, if he angrily yells at her, if he tells her she's wrong, if he takes things out of her hands and does not allow her to continue doing what she needs to do with the children, he tells the children, "Your mother is not trustworthy to raise you," and undermines her authority to raise the children when he's gone. That's common sense, but more importantly, it's biblical sense. I want you to listen how important the mother's teaching is to children. Boys and girls, young men and women who are adults, you need to listen to God's word about this, because he holds you responsible for what I'm about to read to you. Proverbs 1:8. "Hear, my son, your father's instruction, and do not forsake your mother's teaching." Your mother's teaching. She's responsible to teach too, and you're responsible to hear and listen. And not to forsake. That means to do what she says in what she teaches you and do nothing else but that. You are not to forsake your mother's teaching. Proverbs 6:20. "My son, observe the commandment of your father, and do not forsake the teaching of your mother." Proverbs 10:1, the Proverbs of Solomon, "A wise son makes his father glad, but a foolish son is a grief to his mother." If you young people don't think that your behavior is any of your mother's business, you're wrong. God has made it her business. And what you do with your friends when you're away from your father or mother affects them deeply. And you need to have understanding of that so you will not try to lead an independent life and think, "Well, it doesn't matter what my father and mother think. I'm going to do what I want." They need to just get over it and let me be me. That is ungodly thinking. It's not what Christ thought about his father and mother, even though they were sometimes wrong and he was always right. A foolish son is a grief to his mother. A wise son makes a father glad, but a foolish man despises his mother. When you don't follow your parents' teaching about God and how to live in this world, you are actually despising them. It's not that you're just disagreeing with them and you have a difference of opinion. You are despising God's will for you and despising the parents he's given you. You need to understand what sin is before God, and that God's very sensitive about sin. Your definition of sin may not be God's, but God's definition is the one that counts. "He who assaults his father," that means hits his mother, his father, "and drives his mother away as a shameful and disgraceful son." Proverbs 20:20, "He who curses his father or his mother, his lamp will go out in time of darkness." And what that means is God will forsake him or her. In the Old Testament, if a son cursed his father or mother or struck his father or mother, do you know what the penalty was? death. If a son would not submit to his parents' teaching, and he cursed them and hit at them, he was brought before the elders of Israel. And God's standard of judgment was that he was to be stoned to death and rid Israel of a rebellious spirit. And all of that's just a mini picture. That may sound awful to you, but that's just a mini picture of the wrath of God upon a child who strikes and curses their parent eternally. Listen to your father who begot you, and do not despise your mother when she's old. Proverbs 23:25, let your father and mother be glad, and let her rejoice who gave birth to you. You know, there's a great truth that I've observed in life, and that is children really don't understand how much their parents have loved them and sacrificed for them until they give birth to their own child. It's such a wonder for this child, as Emma says, is in Jamie's tummy and will one day come out into the light of life, and you're going to hold that child that's somehow been knit together in the DNA of God's sovereignty to represent you and your spouse as a brand new person with a brand new life. And as you hold that child, you suddenly realize, I've got to feed this child or it will die. I've got to take care of this child and clothe this child or they will not live. In fact, I'm looking at this baby and trying to figure out, how am I going to pay for college? Your whole worldview changes because of the life of a child. And there are times that I'm jealous as a father for the feeling that must be there for a woman, a mother, to have felt the life of this child in her womb, nurturing it, eating just right, taking care of herself to take care of the child, and then that child comes out of her into this world. And this precious little gift from God is given to this mother, and the bonding process of a mother and a child is fearsome. Don't get in between a mother and a child. You'll lose. And yet it is sad today that so many fathers and mothers do not teach their children the things of God because they're too busy and they've got other things to do. They'll feed and clothe that child, but to teach them about God in their mind, to take a stand of accepted and unaccepted behavior with the rod and reproof is too much to ask. And so many mothers and fathers have just let their child raise themselves and think for themselves, and they've raised a selfish, self-ruled child. And we can see them all over America today. He who robs his father and mother and says, it's not a transgression, is the companion of a man who destroys. Proverbs 28:24. This is a child who has no conscience to take money out of his father or mother's billfold or purse and not tell them. They have no conscience that their father and mother had to work for this money, and it's their money and their car and their house, and they're allowing the child to live there. Because the child has decided that all of this is theirs, and their parents exist just to take care of them and give them everything they want. So it's not a sin to rob from your parents and never tell them. I've done it when I was little. And thankfully God convicted my conscience of it. But I still did it for a long time. I don't know if they ever knew it, but I did. God did. God used that as one of the things to show me what a sinner I was, that I would take money from my parents and rob them like a thief. Proverbs 29:15, the rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. I do not know how to put that in a more clear form as the message that American families need to hear today. That a child who gets his own way, a parent just lets the child do what they wish, kick and fight and fuss, disobey them right to their face, tear up the house, tear up other people's things, lie to them, cheat on games they play, strike their parents in the face. And they wonder, I don't understand. I tried to raise my child and gave them everything. But the Bible is very clear. In spite of Dr. Spock and his philosophies of raising children, in spite of liberal theology that teaches that children are by nature good and only learn bad from parents, the Bible teaches that in sin my mother conceived me, and the wicked go astray from the womb speaking lies. That's what David said, and God said through David. We are by nature children of wrath, even as the rest, and children need a father and a mother who has the courage and the trust in God and the faith in God to follow God's will in teaching the children, in holding the children accountable for their behavior with the rod and reproof. The rod and reproof give wisdom. That's a promise. But a child who gets his own way brings shame to his mother. And I have lived long enough now to see this in at least two generations. Almost three. Where parents have been dominated by their child's will. And when that child grows up, their life goes so far astray that their parents have shame. And it's so sad, because the parents have God's word all along that they are to trust in and to believe and to raise their children in the Lord. Proverbs 30, verse 11, there's a kind of man who curses his father and does not bless his mother. There's a man that doesn't bless his mother. You know what that means? He's a son who looks on his mother as his personal household maidservant. To pick up his clothes, to cook his meals, to wash his clothes, to be there whenever he needs her to do something for him. And he does not bless his mother. He doesn't look on his mother as a gift from God, a gift of love, to take care of him and teach him God's ways. He doesn't tell his mother, I'm so thankful to have you as my mom. You do so much for me. I'm so thankful to God for you, Mom. By the way, how are you doing today? How can I pray for you, Mom? How can I bless you? If you think that's corny stuff, to call children to speak to their mothers that way, wait till you're a mother and you hear your child speak to that way to you and see if it's corny. Be a blessing to your heart to have a child that's more concerned for you than themselves. Proverbs 30, verse 17, the eye that mocks a father and scorns a mother, the ravens of the valley will pick out, and the young eagles will eat it. Now, this is a scene of God's final judgment. And if you look at the end of Revelation, in Revelation 19, where there is the final judgment of God against all men, and when it's all over with, God won. The scene is of the birds of the air eating the flesh of God's enemies. Now, that's God's illustration. That is God's word for us to understand how much He hates sin and evil. And He says that if you mock your father, the eye that mocks a father, well, he's stupid. The eye that scorns a mother, I don't care what you say, you're stupid. I hate you. You don't do anything right either. Why are you getting on my case? You're a hypocrite. The eye that scorns a mother, the ravens of the air will pick out the eye, and the young eagles will eat it. On the other hand, King Lemuel spoke of a godly woman in Proverbs 31. And it says that her children had a certain attitude toward her. Her children rise up and bless her. Her husband also, and he praises her. And all I'm trying to teach you this morning is the book of Proverbs and what it says about honoring your father and mother's teaching. Your mother has as much authority over you in the home when she's teaching you and correcting you and counseling you as your father. There's too many young people in America today and in our churches that when their father bellows out, they finally submit because they're scared of how big he is. But when their mother sweetly appeals to them, they throw it behind their back and disobey their mother. That is a sin against God. When Jesus went to the cross and he laid down his hands upon pieces of wood to be pierced and nailed to the tree, his feet to the tree, nailed, lifted up, jammed into the ground, so that his whole weight came to tear upon his hands and his feet. He was bearing in his body the sins of those who have sinned against their mother and their father, who did not listen, who mocked them, who took advantage of them, who lied to them. He had to die and shed his blood for such sins so that the anger and wrath of God would not be poured out upon your head. But instead, he took it for those who have come to him for forgiveness and help, in order that he might change you and give you a heart that honors him by honoring your parents, listening to them. Father and mother, God has given you the responsibility to teach your children whether they like it or not. He has given you the rod and reproof to teach your children whether they like it or not, because before they were your children, they were His children, and they still are. And they need to hear the truth about life, about God, about their sin, and about Jesus Christ and a new heart. And God has given you to teach them these things. Are you doing this? Will you do this when you have children, young men and women? God has called you to this. Jesus died to bring us a new heart that would want to do this and would be faithful in doing it. So come to Christ. believe in His grace and love, and that you can trust Him in His instructions about how to raise your children in the nurture and discipline of the Lord. And the second main thing I want to say to you this morning is that the rest of chapter 2 is a message to young people, young men and women, to listen to your parents, to take in God's word and wisdom from your parents. Proverbs 2, "My son, if you will receive my words and treasure my commandments within you, if you will make your ear attentive, incline your heart to understanding. For if you cry for discernment, lift up your voice for understanding. If you seek her as silver and search for her as hidden treasures, then you will discern the fear of the Lord and discover the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom." Young men and women, God calls you to listen to your parents with the same responsibility that He gives your parents to teach you. Do you hear and understand what God's word is saying here? It doesn't matter about what you want or what your friends do. What matters is what God has commanded you as His creature. And He has commanded you to listen to the wisdom and teaching of your parents. And not just to listen passively, but to pursue wisdom, to seek wisdom, to cry out to God for wisdom, to pray for wisdom, and to honor your parents by listening to them respectfully and attentively when they're teaching you. Now, this is not Brother Fred's will here. Because honestly, I had trouble doing that as a young person. My parents saw the roll of the eye, the tapping of the feet, the breathing of the air, the grimacing of the mouth. How much longer do I have to live under this before I die? And the disrespect that I showed my parents bothers me to this day. And I thank God that He allowed them to live long enough for me to ask forgiveness of them. But how I wish I could do it over. And it wasn't that they taught me so much of God's word, but they did take me to church. And I believe that they would have taught more if I had been more willing to listen. So I bear that. God calls you to incline your heart. That means deal with your thoughts, your stubbornness, your willfulness, your anger. And receive and listen to your parents' instruction. Sometimes there are two things that children do when their parents are talking to them, trying to explain as best they know how to live for God in this world, what God wants out of us, or trying to explain God's word, maybe in a devotional, or just reading the Bible with them, or calling their children to sit down and say, "Honey, there's something I've got to talk to you about what God wants in our family or in our lives or in your life." There's two things. And the first thing is that they tend to argue with their parents. And if you argue with your parents and interrupt them while they're teaching you and talking with you, you are sinning against God. For the Bible says, "Be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to anger." for the anger of man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. If you argue with your parents and interrupt them while they're talking, you cannot be listening carefully to what they are saying and learning what God wants you to learn from them. You can't fuss and complain and argue and yell at them and get up and walk around and run out of the room because you don't want to listen to what they're saying to you. All that is rebellion against God for giving you a parent that's trying to teach you his truth. It's a great sin. He has called you to listen to your parents, to be quiet and listen to what they're saying and explaining their thoughts to you. Do you really want to follow God in your life, young person, young adult? Then you need to listen to your parents. Quit arguing with your parents and disrespecting them by interrupting them or yelling at them. God has said he wants you to listen and receive their words and treasure them in your heart. So it's not a matter of how good or bad a parent you have. It's a matter of what good or bad heart you have. Sometimes young people are not guilty of arguing out loud with their parents. You might argue with your mother if you're a young son because you have this drive to prove your manhood, that you are a real man. And you're not going to allow any woman to rule over you. Of course, the Bible teaches that a real man is secure enough to listen to his mother and honor her. But sometimes you're not guilty of yelling or arguing or interrupting your parents, but in your mind, you're arguing with everything they say. You're thinking, I don't agree with that. No, I'm not going to do that. I don't care what they say. They don't have to know. I'm going to do what I want to do. They are so stupid. I hate this. How long is this going to last? I wish they would just shut up and let me get out of here. If you have those kinds of thoughts when your parents are teaching you and correcting you, you are sinning against God and his will for you and hurting yourself and robbing yourself of the way God brings wisdom into your life through your parents. And he will judge you on the last day. Your parents may never know. You sit there with a blank look on your face because you dare not show them what you really think of them, but God knows. And those thoughts and words that cross your mind will stand before you in judgment on the last day if you do not flee to Jesus Christ as a Savior and repent of such sins and take hold of Him as your Savior and Lord for forgiveness and trust Him enough to honor your parents as he commands you. It's about Jesus Christ. It's not your parents, see. It's about whether you love him for dying for you and bringing you to eternal life in spite of your sins and want to live for him in the way you treat your parents and bring glory and honor to him in being kind and loving and respectful to them and honoring them as he's commanded. That's what it's about. That's what's going on in those kinds of moments. God has called you to be humble and humble yourselves under him and his will, which is to listen to your father and your mother without arguing with them, either with words or mind, and be still and listen. Do you do this? Do you look to Christ and say, Lord, forgive me of those thoughts in my mind about my parents. Help me to be still and listen to what you are trying to teach me through them that I need to learn. See, that's what a Christian young person does. You're going to have evil thoughts. You are going to have sins that you're tempted to. But when you look to Jesus Christ and you believe that he loved you and died for you, not only to forgive you of such sins, but to give you a heart to keep his commandments and to love your father and your mother and to love your brother and your sister and to love your neighbor and love your enemy, your heart changes. And the benefit is you gain in wisdom by listening to God's teachers. Well, I'll have to go on. There are other things that I wanted to say, but there are promises. And I want you to just listen to this in verse 9 and read it, and we'll close. If you will listen, if you will pray and say, God, give me wisdom. Help me listen to my parents. Help me overcome this reluctance to listen to others when they're teaching me about God and telling me that I'm wrong. Oh God, help me cry out for discernment, he said. In verse 9, then you will discern righteousness and justice and equity and every good course. That means your life will be guided by good and not evil, by God, and not your ignorant self. For wisdom will enter your heart, says God. And knowledge will be pleasant to your soul. Discretion will guard you. Understanding will watch over you to deliver you from the way of evil and from the one who speaks perverse things. So you will walk in the way of good men and keep the paths of the righteous. For the upright will live in the land and the blameless will remain in it. But the wicked will be cut off from the land, and the treacherous will be uprooted from it. God promises to bless your life if you will listen to him. And he has said, in spite of the imperfection of your parents, that if you want to follow God in your life and know God and live for God's glory in this world and live a life in which he guides you into every good course, and he makes your path straight in this life. It begins with humbling yourself to God and trusting in him enough to humble yourself to your parents and listen to their teaching to you. And parents, this means that you have a great and grave responsibility to be faithful in teaching your children, faithful in living consistently before your children, and integrating the truth of God into your mind and heart so that as you rise up in the morning with your child and walk by the way and put them to bed at night, you're thinking enough about God and his great grace and wisdom and truth in this world, you're thinking enough about it to teach them something. In such ways, children grow up knowing about God, knowing about their sin, knowing about the love and goodness of Jesus Christ to die for sinners like parents and children. And by God's grace and work in their hearts, to capture their hearts, to want to live for God's glory. There is no other way than this. No good school. No gifts that you can give them. Only yourself. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, we praise you and thank you that all the scripture is inspired by God, and you've given fathers and mothers a great and grave task to teach their children. But it's not a bad task, for it's about teaching about your love and grace to sinners and how to live a life for God and for good in this world. So help us as parents to take up that responsibility and teach our children for their good. And I pray for the children of this congregation, young and old, that you would help us to understand that God has indeed given us, our parents, to learn from them the ways of wisdom. And insofar as they teach us the Word of God, to take it in completely, to take it into our hearts, to pray that God would put the truth upon our hearts for the glory of Christ. And if our parents themselves should in some way sin, that we would still honor them and listen to them and treat them as Christ would have us to do. For one day it will be too late to love them like we should have. Help us to do these things for the honor of Jesus Christ and to restore the family in this world. We pray in Jesus' name.
Turn with me in your hymnals to number 76 and stand with me as we sing.